Welcome back to Play It Loud. I'm Rich.
I'm Brianne. Apparently we don't have our little dude during our intro anymore.
Well, I could do that if you want me to. You want me to do the intro?
No, I don't want to anymore.
I could do the intro.
I don't want him to talk. Nope, I don't want him. You do the lady anyway, so.
I could do the lady too.
No, I hate the lady.
You don't like the lady?
I don't like the lady.
Why don't you like the lady?
Because, I don't know, I just don't like the lady. The man's like better.
The you like the man.
I like the man.
Really?
Yeah.
The following program is brought
this
to
one.
You by the 511 Media
It's not
Group.
Me.
I know
this program
not me.
Is okay. Available on iTunes, Spotify, the 511 Media Group YouTube channel, and 511mediagroup.com.
There you go. Is that better? Welcome back to Play It Loud. Again.
Again.
I'm Rich.
I'm Bree.
Okay.
And my ears hurt. Oh my
God. Jesus Christ. All right. So we are into 2024. We are episode 3 of season 2. And today, Bree and I are here to do our review of the Take Back Your Life tour. Why are you laughing?
You look like the boom mic guys in movies.
I'm just moving the mic stand.
Imagine it not agreeing with you. Oh my God, did Ryan switch these headphones?
He had them on yesterday.
These suck.
Yeah, he had them
my
on
yesterday.
My ears
are too small.
If you want to put those on, you can.
No, I'm just going to put my hair over it so I don't have the pressure. It's going to be a long
day. He's gone
for
like 2 weeks. So,
well, you know, he's missing out on some good shit. So
he's
going to
the Great Northwest. But anyway, so we went to the Take Back Your Life tour, mm-hmm. which consisted of a part two. Well, we did go to part one.
We did.
Last fall, and then we went to part two. This was in Peoria, Illinois.
We talked about
we know part how one, you right? feel about Peoria, Illinois.
I hate Peoria.
So for anybody who hasn't listened to your review of which concert was it?
Falling in Reverse, maybe.
Yeah, but there was Falling in Reverse, and who else was on that tour?
Ice.
Okay, so you
Catch Your Breath.
Yeah,
and
you and Summer went to that. Yep. And then you gave your whole spiel about Peoria and how you guys had
to walk 2 miles.
Had to walk and the Uber and the whole deal and getting yep. McDonald's at midnight.
Yep.
And, how
and the
just,
first one was closed.
You're just not a real big fan of Peoria. But this time it wasn't bad. Actually, the best part of that trip leading up to the...
Was getting there.
But what did we do when we got there?
Was it Qdoba?
Yes, we had Qdoba. So anybody who hasn't had Qdoba, I personally like it better than Chipotle.
It's just a sentimental thing.
It's because there's not that many of them left, right?
There's not. The closest one us is what, Schaumburg?
And we had planned to go there. We knew it was there.
Yeah.
And so we were like, we're going to leave a little early and we're going to go to Qdoba before we go to the show. Because we did that before, which show? We did it in Milwaukee before one of the shows there.
Was it From Ashes to New?
No, it was before Asking Alexandria.
Oh,
because we were late getting there. We got there when The Who was playing.
Right.
The Who, not the other Who.
Do you have to say it every time?
I do, because maybe some people don't know. So we got down to Peoria, went to Qdoba. And, you know, when you're driving to Peoria, it's a three-hour drive from where we live.
It's the
or
most
three plus
boring,
hour drive.
Dry.
Well, you're in the middle of nowhere.
There's nothing but fields and wind turbines for hours.
And we listened to some music, but when we went down there, if you remember, it was snowing and it was icy and we had to take a back road because your GPS yep. was like, hey, let's go this way. And so we were on some back ass fucked up roads in the middle of farm country, which was far more terrifying than if we would have just taken the highway.
You were only nervous because the snow was blowing over the road.
Oh, that's the only reason that I could have just slid off the road. Yeah.
It was
what was I thinking?
Fine.
Oh my God. What was I thinking? But so it took us a little longer to get down there. I swore I wasn't going to do that on the way back and we didn't. We took the highway all the way back. But we got there. We had some delicious Qdoba. I think I had a bowl. What did you have?
A burrito, like always.
Like always. But you ate your food in like 7 minutes flat or something. It was, you eat ridiculously fast.
I do. It's a problem.
I don't remember that with you growing up, eating your food ridiculously
Oh, you're
fast.
So full of it.
I am not.
My mother and anybody around knows I eat fast. I actually eat slower than I used to.
Well, I don't know about that.
I do.
Oh my God. Last night,
I ate my
like
food
watching you
so
inhale
slow.
That burrito, I had to stop eating and watch you eat. Because it was like, here's the burrito.
Well, here's the problem with burritos. They fall apart. So if you put them down, you're just asking for it all to come out. So if you have, you have
it's
to
like you were shoveling it into like a wood chipper. It just zzzzed, and it was gone. One bite after the other after the other. I don't even know if you chewed. Did you just swallow? Did you even chew your food?
I do chew my food, yes.
Oh, my God. It was just, all of a sudden, there was this huge burrito, and you're like, wow, this is a fat-ass burrito. And the next thing I knew, you had, like, the end of it.
It also fell apart, so.
Right, but you just had the end of it, and all of a sudden, you were eating it. What kind was it? Was it steak?
No, it was birria, maybe? No, not birria.
Pork?
It was some kind of beef.
Oh, okay.
Brisket of some kind.
And then, so we did that, and it was cold as fuck. I just remember that. We were debating. So when we got down there, the last time we were there, we went to see whom? Do you remember? Oh, it was the Skillet concert. Mm. And there was no traffic when we got down there, and we were able to park right across from the venue in the parking garage. This time, it was far different. There was traffic everywhere, and so we kind of had to do a big loop around, and there's a parking garage literally on the opposite side of where most people go into the venue. Apparently not a lot of people know about it, because we got in there pretty quick and got out. We were debating, hey, should we bring our jackets in?
Well, because you also have the parking lot on the other side for where
which
people
was
can
completely
park.
Full and where everybody was parking,
but that's where they do drop-offs too, so like people who are
all
getting
the Ubers
Ubered
and Lyft
and
stuff.
Yeah,
so we got into there and walked our happy ass across the street, and it was cold. But we were early, so we got into the merch line, which was way longer than when we went to Skillet. And so we got up there, and we got our stuff, and we got down to our seats, which our seats were pretty good. We had floor seats.
I was happy those people left that were in front of us for Falling in Reverse, maybe? They, like, came in, and then they all
Are you
left.
Talking about the girls?
No, like, the group of people. There was, like, 10 people.
They were in the wrong
down.
Seats.
Yeah.
That's why. Yeah. And so, that's funny. I forgot about that. So, a group of people came in, and they were probably in their mid-30s or whatever, and they were just sitting there, and they were all drinking and whatnot. And then they left for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't
know. They were there for, like, two songs.
Well, I think maybe the girls came in and were complaining that they were in their seats or something. So, security came over and, like, tapped them on the shoulder or whatever, and they moved. And then these girls, and they couldn't have been much over 21, and they were just dressed in the most, and I don't even know if this is a word, hookerish outfits that I've ever seen. I mean, they had next to nothing on.
It's not very nice.
I'm just saying, they weren't dressed for the weather, let's just put it that way.
No, but a lot of people weren't. Like, you saw a lot of girls wearing, like, skirts and
yeah, but these girls, were, it, and- this was, they were looking for attention, and I know, everybody's going to be like, oh, when the girls dress like that, they're not asking for it. No, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. They were dressed to gain attention, not bad attention, just attention. I don't even know if they knew. Do you think they knew the bands that were there, or they were just there for?
They knew Disturbed.
Did they? Okay. They just looked like they were there to just kind of have a good time and pick up some guys.
There's nothing wrong with that. That's what people do.
But they were kind of annoying. But anyway, so we were there, got our seats, and Plush came out. So Plush opened up, and if you know anything about Plush, they're a group of four girls, gained TikTok fame about 2-3 years ago, roughly, with Heart's cover of Barracuda. And so that's kind of how they blew up. And then they started releasing some songs, and they just came out with an album not too long ago. And they did their Barracuda song. They also played, some of their other stuff. I'm just going to play the Barracuda. Now this was the actual concert that we were at. I tried to get it up on YouTube. It wouldn't do it. So this is just my video that I took. And you're right, there's nobody in front of us right now. So what'd you think of Plush?
They were good.
Yeah. She's got a great voice. She sounds...
I just watched their...
almost identical to Ann Wilson.
She posted a video of her and the other girl who sings. I think she's the bassist? She's the blonde one. They posted their vocal warm-up vocals.
She's a guitarist.
They're both technically guitar, yeah. I guess, but whatever.
Yeah, I'm just looking at her. She's the guitarist. Now, the drummer has a microphone, too.
Yeah, but it was a video. Whatever. The video was of them warming up in a bathroom. Just warming up.
Just getting their vocals ready? Yeah. She's, so she did, they did what, 6 songs, maybe? Roughly?
Maybe more.
But this song, this is what made them famous, really, was their rendition of Barracuda. And they've really perfected it. I thought it was super, super good. And so they did that. And then they actually came out later on with Disturbed and did the, is it Take It All? Is that the name of the song?
Don't Tell Me.
Don't Tell Me. I'm sorry. That's right.
We weren't there.
Ann Wilson. We well, so they did that at the, so this is the third time we've seen Disturbed in a year. So we knew they've done the same playlist all 3 times. And
which is objectively why I wasn't super stoked to go again and see them. Like, I was more interested in seeing Falling Reverse because I just
and I wanted
them.
To see Plush. But we knew we had a 3.5-hour ride home, and so we left a little early. I think we left right before the encore. Well, that's when they did Don't Tell Me, and I'm kind of glad
during
we left
Sound of Silence.
Well, I'm kind of glad we left because they did took like a 15-minute thing with one of the kids in the front row. Now they've done this before, but this one was extra long. I actually watched it on YouTube and it was pretty long. But anyways, Plush got up there. You can tell that, they are polished, but this was the first date on this tour. So Take Back Your Life tour part 2. This was the first date and they had really blown it up on TikTok and Instagram and so forth on Disturbed's page. And they wanted to make sure that everybody knew, they were going back on tour. And so this was the first time Plush had really been on stage. And I think they did, for not having a whole lot of real life practice. What I mean, they got up there, they did sound check. They the whole day before they had practiced, but you know, up in front of an audience like this in an arena, did a good job.
I mean, Mariah was on The Voice. It's not like she's not, you know, equipped to perform. And I know she.
I know, but it's different. Like when you're
that.
When you're touring, that's a whole different life. You've got a lot of different responsibilities, and there's a lot of things that can go wrong. It's a live show versus being recorded for television. It's a lot different, and you're depending on 3 other people in your band to do everything right, and then you're depending upon everybody else that's putting all your stuff together to do everything right. And this is their first tour, so first big tour, especially with Disturbed. So, and then there was about a 30-minute break between Plush and Falling in Reverse. Let's go back to Plush for just a second because we always give grades. Or do you want to do that at the end?
Probably the end.
We can do that at the end. Okay. So, we had eaten, so we didn't need any food. I think we got something to drink, went to the bathroom, whatever. And then Ronnie and the guys got up there. And this is one of the songs that I recorded.
I lost my shit when he came out in a baseball jersey and a hat. I was like, fucking frat boy Ronnie coming out. It was incredible. I've never seen him dressed like that. He always wears a black t-shirt and jeans. Every time I've seen him.
Always. And his hair is usually free-flowing and he's not wearing a hat.
He was very much appreciative of the fans this time. He talked about how much he loves his fans and, you know, how much he loves to fuck around on the internet and, like, people who don't know him take him seriously and think he's this big mega asshole, which, like, he is an asshole.
Well, he had
that.
Just come off of about a month ago on their tour. He basically told the arena to fuck off because they were trying to charge him so much for a percentage of the merch. And
well,
so
yeah,
he
but
wasn't.
Ronnie's
he,
been in the
so
game
he decided not to sell merch that day, and he apologized to the fans. He's like, "Look, I'm sorry that you can't buy anything, but
it was like
we are
25%.
It was either 20 or 25%. Yeah, and he's like, "Fuck that. Go to our website. I'll make it available for you. You guys can go on there and buy everything, whatever." Now they did have merch at this show. The only thing about the Falling in Reverse merchandise is I think it's very limited. Like, Disturbed has a shit ton of merchandise. Plush had, what, 3?
But Disturbed didn't have this much the last time we saw them. They had, like, about half, I would say. They had, like, the long sleeve, the t-shirt, and they had, like, maybe another shirt.
See, I think they had more this time.
No, they did. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
They had more this time.
Yeah, so.
But also, it's not their tour, so they're not going to have, like, they had merch for this tour, but
Did they have more when you were in Peoria to see them with ice?
I don't remember.
Or was it
about
the same?
I think they had.
I remember you sending me the photo of the merch, and it seemed like there was a lot more.
It's different every time, though. Like, they're really good about changing out their merch, whereas, like, I feel like these bands that tour a lot either, like, don't really have anything, or they just kind of bring, like, the leftovers that they've had.
Disturbed had three or four more shirts this time.
They
had the long sleeve.
They had two of the same ones.
But they had a new long sleeve. They had a couple of new T-shirts.
I did really like their distressed T-shirt or sweatshirt, but not for, like, $120.
Yeah, it was a bit much.
Yeah.
Like, I'll pay
somebody
70.
Bought it, and I was like, damn, good for you. Like, it was a sick sweatshirt.
Sure.
It was really cool. I liked, I hadn't seen
it. But what
that
if it
before.
Shrinks? Then you're screwed.
I guess.
And that's $125. So that was the only one that I, that was the only one that I filmed for Falling in Reverse. But
I filmed quite a
so
bit.
They played for 45 minutes. They were supposed to play for an hour. So when they cut short.
They're slotted an hour. They don't, this is the thing. You think that like they didn't play what they were supposed to, but they played this the rest of the tour. This is what their set list was.
I understand that. What I'm saying is I asked the security guy, I said, well, okay, so your statement is technically true. They are allotted an hour. My question is then, why didn't they play an hour? And it's kind of a sticking point with me because if you're there expecting an hour, which is what they should play is an hour because that's what they've normally done is an hour. And you're coming there and you're buying a ticket and you think they're going to be there for an hour and they're cutting it 15 minutes short.
But you don't know how
that's
long
roughly
a band's
four
be
songs.
On. You don't know how
what
long
do you mean?
A band's going to be on stage.
Well, you kind of do.
You
but if you have three bands, the first one goes for a half an hour. The second one goes not for always. An hour. The third one usually goes for an hour and a half, hour and 15.
Just the ones we've been to, but not always. There's some.
Most of on a big arenas like this.
There's been a lot of bands that I've seen without you where the openers play for fucking ever. Or some of them play like a couple songs and they dip out. But it really depends on the band, I would say. And plus, Ronnie's been touring for like back to back and he has all these festivals. We talked about this. Like
we did before, yes.
He has all these things coming up and like he had all those vocal issues last year. So I think
I get it.
In addition to trying to make sure that he's not overworking himself, you know, he did interact with the fans a lot during the set, which was nice.
Which cuts down on the singing.
It does. And it gives more, I mean, I would rather have a band talk to me than play another song because it makes
me
feel
Nickelback
like they
does.
Care.
Nickelback interacts with the crowd a lot.
Well, like, so like with Disturbed, for example, like they interact with the crowd when it's time to do like the veteran slash cancer,
slash
you know,
suicide,
whoever they bring up on stage, that's the most they interact with the crowd. And I don't really love that when bands do that. Like, I know it's because
Five Finger does it with the veterans.
Time, mm-hmm. But, you know, they talk and, like, Ivan Moody has, like, a whole, like, spiel about mental health. But it's not the same every night.
And he
night.
Talks about the veterans and he brings a veteran family up and he gives them the flag and they do the whole thing. And I really respect that and I think it's great. And if you're going to do it for a cause, I think it's wonderful. If you're going to do it, if it's contrived, and this is what I said last time we had the review for Disturbed. I thought the first time I heard Disturbed their spiel about the suicide and we were at Hogfest. Okay, I got it. It was moving, but I was
it's
like, okay, it was kind of off
time.
The cuff. And then the second time we saw him, I'm like, it's almost the same speech. That's
no, it
just
is the same
very,
speech.
It's very,
very
contrived.
It's very performed. Like it's
correct.
Very rehearsed.
Not, and it doesn't really sound like from the heart. Does that make sense?
It just seems repetitive and robotic. After
robotic's
a
good word for it. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to talk about something and it's going to be from the heart, maybe it should be different every
like
time.
Like, I get it. It's really personal for him. And, like, it does affect him. His friends have died to overdose.
Sure. And on the other side of
that stuff,
it's hard to, if you're doing so many tour dates, let's say they're doing 30 or 40 tour dates, it's going to be hard to have a heartfelt moment 30 or 40 times.
But maybe, like, don't
that.
Play the same video for three tours in a row. Maybe
well,
change it up
the
a little
other
bit.
Part. So that's the third side of it would be, yes, maybe change it up a bit. So
but, you know, like Ronnie does, you know, he talks about how, like, if you're going through shit, like, look around, you know, everyone's kind of going through it. He makes light
and
of
we've heard
situation.
That from a lot of bands. We've heard that from Shinedown. We've heard that from Disturbed.
But, like,
we've heard
those
from,
moments are nice where it's like, you know, we love you. We wouldn't be here without you. Like, keep fighting. And then they
sure.
do their thing. Like, that means a lot.
Well,
versus,
and as a mental health professional, you can appreciate that maybe more than
well,
others.
Well, it's nicer to hear that stuff where it's kind of more raw and not scripted than listening to the same thing over and over and over again. And I get it. People haven't seen them before, so maybe it's not the first time, but seeing it three times, I'm like, you know, it's a little overdone.
What about their set did you like the best, and what about their set would you have changed, or you
are we
didn't
talking about?
Falling in Reverse.
Okay.
Did you not think was up to what we've seen in the, because now I've seen them twice. You've seen them four times?
I've seen them a lot.
Yeah. So
I've seen them twice with Rockzilla, once with Ice, once on their tour now.
So that's five times.
Something like that.
So
at least.
Was this one of the better shows that you've seen?
I always have fun at their shows.
I know you do, but
I think their tour was probably one of my favorites because I hadn't seen like their headliner before.
Is that the one in Peoria?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I did like that one a lot because they played a lot of songs. Obviously, they're headlining, and it's, you know, a good blend of everything they've done over the years.
What was the venue we saw them with, Hollywood Undead and Bad Wolves? Do you remember where we were? I'm trying to think of the venue, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Right. That was Milwaukee. That was Miller Theater.
Okay. Yeah. Because we haven't been back there since that one.
So we saw them in Milwaukee. Personally, I thought that was a really good performance by Falling in Reverse. You're saying the one in Peoria was better?
Yeah. Well, it's their headliner. They're going to put, they have more, you know, things to put into the show. They have to kind of be the main performer. So
sure. Like, I just mean the energy, though.
He always has the same
energy. He has good energy, but I thought the one in Milwaukee, he had a little more energy. But then again, he had a lot more vocal issues around that time. So maybe he was just putting a lot more into it, and the performance was suffering because of it. Possibly.
I think he always has the same energy. I think
I defer to you because you've seen them so many times.
I think Ronnie's always kind of the same. In my opinion, he's always himself.
Why do people have a specific viewpoint of him? Why do you think
they don't
either
agree with him?
Right, but do you think he really does care, or do you think he really doesn't give a shit?
Depends on what you're asking. Like,
he kind of comes off as, you know, I'll do what I want. I don't fucking care about your opinion. And
I think he,
I don't care what you think.
He's about that with people who are like, you know, kind of trying to argue with him and say things about him and his career, because he's like, you know, I fucking made it.
Are there other bands that are saying that, or you're talking about fans or just people in general?
Everybody.
Do you think he's respected within the industry?
I think with the, yeah, like him and, I know him and David Draymond, they have a good relationship. They talk mm-hmm. about how, you know, good they are, and, you know, they, like, I think the people that they work with and people who understand him as a person can look past the controversial side of him. I call him my controversial king because he is. He's always in the media for something. But I think you have to respect to a degree, like, he speaks his truth. He's kind of like Corey Taylor. Like, Corey Taylor kind of does it too. Not as much, but Corey Taylor's also like,
I think Corey Taylor defends his band a lot because people think Slipknot, there's people with Slipknot, I think there's two camps. There's people that think it's utterly fucking ridiculous, and there's people that love it. Right,
I
think
I'm in the middle. I don't really care or hate it.
Well,
I like some of their songs. I don't really love them.
But there's a lot of people that shit on what he does because they think it's theater. Right, it's not real rock and roll, or it's not hard rock. It's just theater.
But that's how people are with Ronnie too. I mean, they're like, they don't like his music. They don't. They think it's, you know, poppy, and he,
well, look at the stuff that he
care.
Did early on that was very poppy.
He doesn't care,
right?
Though. Like, he's gonna play with his sounds. He's making.
But
music.
you loved the earlier stuff.
I
that
love
they
all
played.
Of their stuff.
I know, but when. When some of their earlier stuff came on, you lit up like a Christmas tree. You just were, you were having a good time. I know.
They're fun songs.
So do you think he's misunderstood because...
I don't think he's misunderstood.
He doesn't fit into a specific genre, or he doesn't fit into a specific category?
I think he's misunderstood because people either agree with him or they don't. And then when they don't agree with him, they don't like him as a person, or they don't like his music. Like, people, and you can hear Corey Taylor talk about this, like when they made the Hive Mind... like, he has a whole speech. He talked about it on Octane, where, like, he talks about how our society is very hive-minded. So we'll latch on to what we think is the right opinion, even if it's not. Or, like, we very much have, like, a cancel culture and things that get popularized. So I think Ronnie's one of those people that, like, is used to trying to get canceled, and like he just isn't because he has such a backing. But we do have like hive minds, and there's going to be people who don't agree with him. Like, he says some really outlandish shit sometimes. I won't lie. He does. He says some really weird things sometimes, but like, you're entitled to your opinion. And if you can't separate somebody's opinion from the artist, then.
Well, plus I think we as humans are tribal. I mean, take it either in politics or religion or music or whatever category you want to. And if you're on, if you're on a specific side, you defend the thing or the person or the belief or whatever it is. And if you're not, you're going to shit on it, right?
Well, it's that confirmation bias. Like, you're going to automatically latch onto the things that you agree with and, you know, either cancel or try to push against anything that doesn't.
So what do you think Ronnie could do to, not that he would, but what do you think he could do to win over more of a fan base? Do you think it would take him compromising his principles, or do you think
there's nothing he can do? Music. I think he just has to keep making his music. He's not going to change. He hasn't changed in the last 20 years, so he's not
like
going to start
now. When he did Watch the World Burn, people were like, he's not a fucking rapper, and that's just because they haven't listened to his music. He does a lot of that. Maybe not to that degree, but he's done a lot of that. And he'll tell you that
he loves proving
people wrong.
We've
talked about
that
in previous episodes. A lot of his influence is rap. And so he was able to do it. And since he was able to do it, he did it well, too. So I think a lot more people respected him for that. If you watch some
of
the artists.
I just think a lot of people don't know his band for some reason. They've been around for fucking forever.
15 years?
So I think people just don't know him, but if they see him on the internet, they're like, this fucking guy, like he's got some balls on him to say that on the internet, you know, but.
Do you think he does it to be shocking, or do you think he's just speaking his truth?
I think that's just who he is. I think he just says what he thinks he means, and
that's
he'll try to prove people wrong, and he doesn't care what people think about him. Like, you know, he made a song about how he's an asshole. Like, he knows he's an asshole.
Of course.
And he doesn't care.
Well, he says, if you're an asshole, raise your hand. I think the whole place raised their hand. Not everybody's an asshole, though. That's a little disingenuous, but.
No, but he's very kind to his fans. If you ever talk to anybody who's ever met him, they're like, he's the sweetest person. Like, he genuinely cares about the people who support him. Like, his fans are everything to him. But he will joke around on the internet. He will call people out. He will make jokes. Like, that's just who he is. Mm. Like, fame hasn't changed him like that.
He'll call people out for being hypocritical, like certain bands.
In the media.
Certain bands didn't want to tour with him because he supported other bands that had some issues. And then those bands were also touring with another band. And I'm not going
to
be specific when
I know,
but I'm not going to be specific when I say this. But the band that pulled out of that tour that you were on, or that you went to in Peoria, the band pulled out and they went and toured with somebody else because they said, well, we can't support somebody who supports that band. And now they're on tour with a band that's gotten into trouble or potentially got into trouble, and they didn't back off the tour. And he called them out for being hypocritical.
It's a flawed industry. Okay. There's going to be people who do shit that's not acceptable. And you should call them out for that. You know, if there's somebody,
because it is hypocritical.
If there's somebody being a pedophile
100% hypocritical.
Or sexually assaulting all of their fans, they should be called out. Absolutely. But also, people are human. And there's also a lot more than just saying, oh, well, he, you know, assaulted somebody. Do we know that? Or are we just assuming that because the allegation was there,
well,
that he's
a horrible
person?
It goes back to what you said about they don't know him. I mean,
sorry.
You good there?
Yeah, I was trying to pull myself in a little
over.
Bit.
I say this all the time when people say, you know, and it doesn't matter if it's a politician or a religious figure or a celebrity or whatever. They're like, I can't stand that guy. And I'm like, well, do you know that person or that woman, whatever it is?
Well, it's just
like, do you
so
know that person
layers.
Personally? Do you know that person, or are you just basing your feelings on their persona, their public persona?
I think Ronnie having the experience he did, where, like, you know, he went to prison, he did his time, and like, he knows that things can sometimes not fall in the way that they should. And I think he's more open to trying to understand that situation and be empathetic rather than shifting with that mindset of like, oh, I'm not even going to associate with that because it's problematic and I don't want anything to do with that. And I think that's what said band that we both know did. And like, that's fine. You do you. But at the end of the day, like, you're going to support who you support and you're not going to support who you don't.
Mm.
But I think Ronnie's hilarious as a person. He is so funny to me. His performing is so funny. Like, I count his mic throws. I count you know, when he runs around the stage.
He runs around with a corded mic, absolutely. which is old school to me. It's like all these, you know, bands have cordless mic, and he goes around and he's spinning that thing, and he throws it up in the air and he catches it, and it's part of his performance. And it can be distracting if you don't understand what he's doing, I suppose.
He does that every time he performs. It's hilarious to me. It's hilarious.
So, again, sometimes it could be distracting if you don't understand it. But he's done it every, you know, both times I've seen him. So, and I'm going to ask you what the grade is. I already know what it's going to be. But the reason I brought up the 45 minutes, just to follow out that point, and you made a really good point about maybe he's saving his voice. I just would like to get an answer. That's all. And I don't know if I'm owed an answer. I mean the fans. I don't know if the fans are owed an answer.
I think you're just thinking a little bit too deeply into it, honestly.
I don't know. Like, I don't know about that. I mean, an hour and you cut it back to 45 minutes, you're cutting out a certain part of the performance. Just tell fans, look, I'm giving you everything I got for 45 minutes, and I'm not going to do an hour, and that's just the way it is. And these are the reasons I'm doing it. I'd have zero issue with that. But when you're expecting an hour and you see 45 minutes, and then we've got to sit for 45 minutes before the next band goes on, or for an hour or whatever it was. I forget if Disturbed went on at 9 or 9:15.
They got a lot of fucking shit they have to move on there. So honestly.
I get that. But I think it was 9:15 before they went on. So there was an hour. And I mentioned this yesterday when in episode number 2 of season 2 with Ryan, we were talking about concerts. And I told him, I said, look, one of the things that I would change is figure out a way to make it less time between bands. I know arenas have to sell liquor and food and all that other shit, but waiting an hour for another band to go on is bullshit. It's bullshit. And when you're expecting it to be maybe a half an hour or 45 minutes and it's in a full hour, it's a lot of wasted time. And it felt like an enormous amount of time between Falling and Reverse and Disturbed. I don't know.
Because a lot of times you'll notice like a lot of, I mean,
The
next concert we're going to talk about, they were like just lickety split and they were starting early. Like they started whenever they were done. But
to a degree,
times when I'm watching these, you know, the stagehands set up, I feel like a lot of times it's pretty down to the wire for me. Like they'll be doing sound check and then they'll go on like 5-10 minutes later.
Not this one though. Like it was, they were done with sound check by 8:45, and we sat there for another half an hour. So
I don't know, man. Yeah. That sounds like a band thing, not a...
And it may be. I don't know.
Not a venue thing, because they got to get out of there by, you know, most places 11. Now are like 11. They used to be like 12.
And I think this one went past 11, because we left at 10 to 11, and they still went on for like another 20 minutes. So maybe that was a different deal.
Could have been 11:30, too.
Because it was a weekend, so maybe it was 11:30 or whatever, but... And then Disturbed came on. Now, I seemed to, you know, I like the fact that they open with Hey You. I think it's the perfect song, and they've done it 3 times.
I think for me, the only issue I have with Disturbed is, like, they are so polished. I get, like, so polished. One of the most polished bands you'll see because they've been around for a long time. But sometimes it just feels like it's too performed. Does that make sense?
Contrived.
Like I feel like I'm just very much watching the same show, and I just wish that there was some kind of variety, you know? Like, it's the same set list, the same speeches, and I think that's why I just wasn't overly excited to watch it. It's not that they're not bad, because they're a great performer. They're fantastic live.
They do a great job.
But I just feel like it's just the same. I just didn't feel like I was watching a different show.
Because they played the same song list 3 times.
3 times in a year.
Except the one difference is the one song they did with Ann Wilson.
Well, because that one, because they came out with that after the album. Yeah.
Right, they just released it. And they did it with Mariah.
You know, that's pretty cool that they did that. And they continue to do that. They did it every show, I'm pretty sure. But, man, like, it's the same thing over and over and over again. The same songs in the same order. They close with the same songs. Like, it's just...
What they did differently on this one, though, in... At Hogfest, because it was inside and it was in their arena, and maybe this was a venue thing, but they didn't have their light show that they had at
the outdoor. Last one.
They had it at the outdoor, which makes sense because it's fire and it's outside and whatever. But they brought all of that inside except for the big pods that came down. They didn't have those. But the other ones, they had all of that, and during this show they actually had a fire stage. Right, our left. They had a small fire that broke out, and they put that out. And then
I didn't even see it.
I know. I didn't see it either.
Okay, the other thing was I was getting blinded for the first like 10 minutes of the show. I couldn't see a fucking
thing.
From
those lights.
Yes, because they have these huge LEDs, and where we were on the floor, they were just shining right in your eyes.
Right, and flashing.
It was bright, like probably one of the most bright, like it was worse than staring at the sun.
Yeah, it was. The lights were literally flashing.
It was making my, like, I couldn't keep my eyes open. I took a picture when they flashed again.
I was wearing a hat,
again.
I had to pull my hat down over my eyes.
And I sent it to all my friends, and I was like, I feel like that scene in Over the Hedge, which I don't know if you ever seen that movie. We used to have it on
cartoon.
DVD. It's there's a scene where they test out the new, like, extermination products, and there's, like, a laser and stuff, and they have sunglasses on, they're eating popcorn, and it flashes. And I felt like I was in that scene watching the laser show because it was just in my eyeballs, and I was like, my eyes were watering in the picture that I took. And I know because we have green eyes, like, I mean, yours are not as green as mine are, but light eyes tend to be more sensitive. So I'm like, I should have brought my sunglasses.
Yeah, this last concert we went to, I had a little bit of that too.
It was really bad. For a minute, I was like, I don't know.
And then
I'm
it kind of went away. It was the spinning strobe lights that did it for me. But, this is the first time we saw Disturbed up close. Like the two other times we saw them, we were in the back of the arena in Milwaukee when we were there for Dorothy and for Beartooth. And then in the outside venue, Tinley Park, we were off to the side. So we really didn't see them straight on.
It was probably about the same distance, though, if I had to guess.
Well, we had sixth row behind the pit.
Pit was pretty big, though.
Actually, five rows behind the pit. So there was three rows, and then, or was it six? It was four, and then there was an opening aisle. Then there's one seat row in front of us, and then there was us. So we had sixth row, but the pit was pretty big.
It was.
And that was another thing that I would have changed. I would have made the pit a lot smaller.
It was kind of like the pit in Dubuque.
Mm-hmm. Where it was
huge,
a huge
for no reason.
Right, exactly. So I would have brought that pit maybe up another 10 to 15 feet and put the seats
there. Well, and
there.
That's the thing. It's like, you know, how do they determine pit size? Because, like, the pit is supposed to be, like, this exclusive, small, like,
right, and
thing.
It wasn't.
And
it
at
was
festivals,
room
it's
only.
A little bigger. But,
well,
like, at some of the shows we've been going to recently, like, the pit is fucking huge.
Oh, crap. Okay. So, that was the major thing that I didn't like about this venue. And about this particular concert was
it was also freezing that day. It was cold when we were sitting.
It was cold
there.
Outside, but maybe that was part of it. Maybe they had doors open or something. But with the pit being so big, or the standing room only, or the general,
admission,
you know, general admission, the GA was just it was just too big. Like if you're paying for sixth row, you should be sixth row. You shouldn't be halfway back in the arena. And we were almost halfway back in the arena.
Well, and like
I felt like I got
like
a little gypped.
At what point is it too big? You know, like for what we're selling, like the pit is supposed to be like a little more pricey. Like, you know,
like you said, exclusive.
It's exclusive. Mm-hmm. You're close to the band. You're getting up there. You have.
But we
to
had that
early.
For Hollywood Undead, Papa Roach, Falling in Reverse, Bad Wolves.
That was very comfortable. That
was
probably one of the most comfortable pits I've stood in.
And it was a small pit.
Yeah.
Right?
It was
only like six
They
six
removed like
deep.
The first couple.
Yeah.
It was like orchestra where
right.
we were standing.
So when you were on the rail, you felt exclusive, right? It will be interesting to see coming up Beartooth being in the pit or having, you know, up to the rail because you've got the meet and greets. It will be interesting to see how much leeway we have because it's all standing. It's all GA basically at the Riv. So that's going to be interesting. But so as far as Disturbed goes, they played their set list. We saw it for the third time.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of the performance as far as ranking them from the Milwaukee show, the Tinley Park show, and this one? Did you think it was one, two, or three?
I think in terms of, like, enjoyment, I think I enjoyed Hogfest the most because it was, like, the whole show was just so exciting. Like,
well, plus it was the first time you'd seen them,
it
so was
the
it
was
all
time.
New. And, so
and it was the first time we
that.
Had seen that set list.
Right.
So it was like, really surprising the first time I saw them. I was like, wow, like.
Really good.
That was unexpected. And then the second time we saw them, I'm like, I was a little disappointed based on, like, where, you know, I mean, it was outdoor for one, so, like, it was
different.
What it was. And I was a little disappointed because I was expecting like this big spectacle because it's their hometown. But I was, I guess maybe that was my fault for having high expectations.
The only thing we really got being a hometown was Dan won a, he wore a Bears jersey. That was about the only reason you knew it was from Chicago.
Right.
They didn't really play up the Chicago.
But they
aspect.
Like talk about how, you know, how much important home is to them. And like, you know, there's not a lot of bands that are from Chicago. There's a couple, there's you know, a there's a lot of rappers yeah. that are from here, but like, there's not really a lot of bands that are from Chicago. So, you know, usually when bands are in their hometowns or their favorite cities, like they make it known. And I just yeah. didn't feel like we had that. Which again, maybe it goes to the scripted thing. Like maybe they just don't really go off the script. I don't know, but I don't know. I'd say the other two kind of fall second, third. It doesn't really, there's not really a preference
so
for me.
So you thought the outdoor one and this one were
maybe this one
equal.
A little bit worse, just because I was blind. The light show was a little rough.
Here's the rock bands from Chicago. As I just looked it up real quick. So the band Chicago, Smashing Pumpkins, Rise Against, Ministry, Disturbed, Styx, Fallout Boy.
Damn, I didn't know Styx was from here.
Resurrection Band, I don't know them. Veruca Salt is from Chicago. Let's see. A lot of these, I'm not even sure who these people are. The Alkaline Trio, Cheap Trick, Material Issue.
More recently, I feel like a lot of the more modern bands, like, there's not really that many. Like, I mean, Disturbed is pretty up there with being a little mm-hmm. older. So, you know, like Fall Out Boy might be one of the newest ones on that list so far. And they're getting up there too. So.
Yeah, I'm just looking up. It says, I was looking up metal bands from Chicago. I'm going to look up punk bands from Chicago because people might know. Yeah, all it came up with was Rise Against. And then pop bands from Chicago. Let's do that one. Yeah, Earth, Wind, and Fire, Wilco. So, Survivor.
Bunch of oldies.
Survivor.
80s, 90s.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's quite a few bands from Chicago, but...
But more recently, like, that are on tour. Yeah, there's a lot of rappers that I know of that are from here. Like, for God's sakes, Kanye's from here. So, like, you know. But I don't know. Maybe it was just, like, I expected more. But, you know, I guess that's what you get when... You go to the same tour twice, I guess.
Three times?
No, well, Hogfest didn't count.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Take Back Your Life tour. Your life. We went twice, and there was no variance. There's been some tours where we've gone on, like, part twos, and they change it up a little bit, which is nice. I had the same issue with the Trinity of Terror. Like, there was, at least for Black Veil Brides, they didn't change up their set list at all. Mm. I don't think Ice did either. Ice every once in a while, they'll throw in like a couple different songs. So they change it up a little bit, but like, I just don't like when bands.
What would you have changed? Like, what would you have done? What would you have done differently?
Changed out some of the songs. It gets tiring hearing it. And I'm sure that we weren't the only people who have gone to multiple of their same shows. Swap out a couple songs. You have popular songs. You've been around since like 2000, you know, like just throw in a couple different songs.
Okay. Would you have changed the venue?
Or change the order, for God's sakes. Change the order at the very least.
I thought the venue was perfect size for them. I mean, that venue, it
really
wasn't
like
too big,
the,
it wasn't too small.
I like the Pfizer for them too. That's a good venue.
I wonder if they're the same. Let's see, Peoria Arena. I'm going to, let's see, capacity, right? Capacity, is that what we call it? Capacity. So they have 11,442, whereas Fiserv holds 17,000. So there was 6,000 people more at the Milwaukee show. And it felt that way, right? It felt like when they did 10,000 fists, it felt like 10,000 fists because it was 17,000. This one felt a little less, but... Okay, so for me, I would rank Hogfest 1, Tinley Park 2, this one 3. Falling in Reverse, I liked the Milwaukee show better than this one. Hit a lot of energy in this show. I think Plush kind of stole the show. I think they did a really good job. And again, it's the first time I've seen them. So
they
that's
were a
maybe,
great opener.
Maybe that's why, because it was new, right? Something you haven't seen.
Hey, we can always go see them on the 25th. They'll be in Dundee.
Local. Yeah, local. at the Rock House. But let's grade them. So Plush, I'm going to give an A. Solid A. I think they did a really, really good job. Falling in Reverse, B plus for me.
I'd probably give them about an A minus.
Okay.
Just because, like, it's fun. You know?
Same for Disturbed.
It's consistent for me.
Same for Disturbed. I think a B plus would be a good grade out for there. You know, it was the first show. There was a couple of, if you noticed, there was a couple, even though it was, they're a very polished band and there's a very polished tour and there's the second time, there was a few glitches during the show that you're like, okay, I get, you know, they had to stop and do a couple things and it was like, okay, it's the first one of the second half of the tour. But for all the reasons that we talked about and mentioned, I would give it a B plus. So Take Back Your Life tour. That's our review. If you haven't seen it, get some tickets. Go see them. Go see Plush. Really, really good. There's a bunch of stuff on YouTube. If you can't go to the show, look up YouTube.
They have an upcoming tour, pretty local across the U.S. So,
yeah, I mean, and the tickets were fairly reasonable. The tickets were fairly reasonable. I mean, we do a lot of. We're fortunate enough to do a lot of concerts every year. It looks like May is going to be almost packed end to end. I think we've got a ton in May and a few in April coming up. But that's it. Anything else?
No.
See you next time.